Let's start with the Shabbos. There's the famous Rabbeinu Yonah in Avos. The Mishnah is like this. Rabbi Shma Omer. I'm not going to go through the whole thing so carefully. That's not the point, but just try to get the basic structure over here. If someone goes ahead and learns for the purpose of teaching, right, being, you know, giving a shiur, whatever, maspik biyado gilmod olamid. So he has special schusim. Hashem enables him to have the schus to learn and to teach, right? Again, if he's learning for the sake of teaching, so we give him a special schus, maspik biyado, to learn and to teach. Okay? Haromen almanas lasos. What about someone who wants to go ahead and who learns for the purpose of doing? He wants to mekayim kol Torah kula. He wants to learn so he should know what's going on. So maspik biyado lilmod ulamid. Shut this off. Right, so we give him the schus that he can go ahead and to learn and teach and lishmor v'lasos. Four things, right? To learn, to teach, to keep the mitzvahs, and to do it. There's a lot of kashas on this Mishnah, but basically, I guess the question is bothered by is why all of a sudden if a person does. Person learns for the sake of Vlasos to do, why all of a sudden does he get all these things? Lilmod Olamid, Lishmor Vlasos. I think that's his kasha. But that's not the point so much, okay? I don't care about the kasha so much. What I care about is what he says. And this is a big yesod that Yeshiva talks about, and you'll see what I mean in a second. It's a famous, as one of the ikrim of the Yeshiva, and that's, I'm not here to give you my Torah, Rabosai, maybe just a couple of stories and a couple of hashkafas from the Yeshiva Zatzal, now Masorah. But basically, there are many verses like this. What does it mean? What is the definition? As we know, a person is Lomid Al-Manas Lamed. He learns, he wants to teach, right? That's pretty straightforward, right? What's the Lomid Al-Manas Lassos? What does that mean? Or he just wants to do, what does that mean? It says, Rabbeinu Yonah, Rosh Lomer, Shedaito Lefalpel B'Limud. He wants to be in Falpel to get involved in the learning, talk about the learning, Kdei Lodas Amitas Hadvarim, because he wants to know the truth of things. He wants to know the truth, the real emes. Ritzono Litzroach, listen to this, here comes the key words, which some of you guys probably heard, I think. Ritzono Litzroach, to work hard, to bother himself. Kama, don't get nervous, guys. Kama Yomim Vishonim, he wants to be Matriach several, you know, Kama Yomim, days, and I think Shonim means what?
Years,
right? Days and years. Lahasig Dover Kotan, to acquire a small thing, to know one little thing, this guy's going to work and kill himself to work for days and possibly years. The linhog asma pio emes, to be knowing according to the truth, that is hareza lomen almanas lasos. Why? Shekol ikar machshavto, because his main machshav, his main thought, his main goal, ein kiim, is only ela hamaisa lios amiti. Therefore, give him all four things. That's all good in Maisa. Fine. Both. It's a wild. It's a mind-boggling concept over here. He says like this. I mean, I would think. How do you define someone who's a lomar amras lasos? He wants to know, right? So he works very hard. He makes sure he gets all the mishaburs back and forth. He talks with chaverim about what it means and all that. And he goes ahead and he chashes many times. He goes through Yardei and Choshe Mishpat, the Shachantaz, and everything else that's up to Sma. And what else? The Taz, whatever, all those people up there, right? That's how he becomes someone who's learning for the sake of knowledge, because he wants to do. That's not what it means, he says. That's not enough. And this is a bigger Kiddush. If someone just learns for the sake of teaching, it's also not Amanas Lassos, right? He won't get the truth necessarily. You know, he wants to give a nice shear. He wants to give he wants to make sure it's right. He doesn't want to say stupid things. He doesn't want to get slugged up in shir, right? So he works hard. Mustami's motivated to work hard to try to get pshat, you know? Okay, he'll get a certain level of pshat. It won't be the emes. How do you define lomen amnas lasos? One definition. A guy who works, he's ready to commit himself, take the plunge, to work if it takes days and years, he says, which is hard to understand, but whatever it means, you know? Right? Days and years to understand one idea, one svara. He doesn't mean one tosis. And the guys in my shul complained these days about we spent a week and a half on a half a tosis. I don't know. We just spend a year on one thing. That, not one tosis. One tosis is probably 5 years, right? There's five things in one tosis. I don't know. But the maisa, the bottom line is, right, that's what it says. The guy spends days and years to understand, what do you say, davar echad, right? Davar katan, davar katan. Why? Because he wants the truth. I've also said, this to me is such a powerful indication of what it means, how much depth, how much havana, how much amkus there is in Torah. That's what it means. That's all it means. He's not talking about the dummies. He's not talking about the dalit class, you know, the lowest level class. So, but they're a good talmud chacham. The guy wants to become a rebbe. He is a rebbe. Amanas lomo ramed. Then he wants to go vayitri. He wants to amanas lasos. But this guy. So you have to spend. If it takes, doesn't mean every single thing takes. He's not saying every single thing takes months and years. But he's saying if it requires that, when it requires, it could require that. Just be willing to spend so much time just getting one thing straight. Why, Rabbosa? What's pshat? So he said, because there's so much depth to emes. If you want to get emes, you can't do it without irving, without working like a being yogei on something. If you don't do that, you're not going to get the emes. And requires so much because there's so much depth. We have so many different shmuzim you hear about depth and depth and depth and depth. So that's what requires Rabbosa. It requires a lot of focus, and there's so much depth to Torah. You know, they always talk about the Rishivis to say that you know, you have the famous Stirin Rambams, right? Everybody, there's always Stirin Rambams. What does that mean, Stirin Rambams? You know, what's shot? Because Rambams just talk about cases. He doesn't say too much of the Havana behind. He says a little bit of the Svar, not too much. It's not a toast saying shot, right? He's a Posek. He's a Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch goes ahead and says all Halachas. So you see in the Hilchis at Tom Vinitan, it says it's Reuven does it to Shimon, so Yechayev. Whatever the case exactly is. And a seemingly parallel case in the Hilchus, the Gneva Vaveda, it says that if Reuven does this to Shimon, it's a little different case. You're putter. Stirin Rambams, right? You guys heard of Stirin Rambams in your life, right? You heard it? We don't do too much around here, but I'm sure you guys heard of it, right? There's tons and hundreds and, probably, I guess, thousands of Stirin Rambams, right? What's shot? Because it says two cases very similar to each other, right? And they're Stirin Rambams. So what do you do? So everyone has a piece of Torah. You write a whole sefer in Stirin Rambams or in Stiros and Rambams, right? What's Shad Rabbos saying? Shad is, I think Rashiv, you say about Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim has a fa'en for Shtir and Rambams. So you have a Shnei Dinim. Right? Everything Shnei Dinim. This parsha over there is a Dinim Aleph and A. This is Dinim B. What's Shad? Before Reb Chaim came along, the fa'en for the Rambam, so he saw two cases. There was one case, another case next to it. Different messias, the one was red, one was green, whatever, the story was a little different, it was an ox, and it was a dog, you know. Differences which don't seem to make for a difference, and you have a seer Rambams, because it's the same thing. What difference does it make, right? In both cases, it should be the same thing. That's the obvious seer Rambams. What does Reb Chaim do? Reb Chaim saw, he had such depth of Havana, he had such insight into into what the makeup and what makes Talocha. So he explained to you and got into the sugya and showed you guys how the cases are really so different. They're like Kimrochok Mizruch Hamarav. It's like two different sides of the stadium. You know, you thought it was so close, same exact case, but you didn't realize that the fact that there's a dot over there, that makes a big difference. The fact that there's two horns versus whatever, I'm making up the sort of jokes in terms of, you know, what the differences are, right? But those differences, which we thought are nothing, which don't make for a difference, are real, super serious differences. What shot? Because to him, everything, his korka in the sugya, his interpretation, his avana, his understanding of what the sugya was he had such depth of understanding. So to him, what are you talking about? This is black and this is white. To us, they were both gray. There was no differences. By the time you finish learning a Reb Chaim al Rambam, so you see, you know, these two cases are so different because they're totally and totally different concepts. That's how you answer Stirin Rambams, but it's not pshat you make up crazy stories. No, you make up the stories because we're so far from knowing the pshat that you have to make up a whole chiddush to say, this is din and this, this is din and that. But the Kira Bosa is what? Because Reb Chaim was so brilliant in terms of his amkus, his havana. He saw things differently. His world perspective was different. He used to tell a story, I don't know if it's true, it's hard to understand it. He used to tell a story about, I think it was Rabban Cutler, I'm not sure, Rabban Cutler, what he got, came from Europe, I think it was 1942, I think, something like that. Came from Europe, gets off the boat at New York Harbor, and he sees a couple of these skyscrapers, Empire State Building, maybe one or two other ones, RCA, I don't know, a couple of buildings over there. He says, 101 stories. Whoa, 52 stories. Rebbe, how do you count it so fair? If we would try to count it, I'm sure we couldn't, right? You get lost over there. You get stuck on those different fours, right? Yeah, you see doubles sometimes. You can't tell which four you're up to, right? We can't count it. But his vision was so all-encompassing. His breadth of vision, of understanding, the same thing. When you see something, you see something totally different. If you're a Baal Havana, you see all the intricacies, you see all the details. So he was able to look up for a second. Hey, 54 fours, 37 fours, 110 fours. It's hard to understand, but I think the concept is, it's a true concept. This idea that a Gadol, someone's a Talmud Chacham, someone who has Amkus, a vision, he sees everything with a different perspective. So he sees these two sugyas, Reb Chaim saw these two sugyas, two different valves, two different stories, two different deals. I remember they say, Rashi was tell over, he had a charusa. His charusa's name was, when Rashi was a bacher, Talmud Yeshiva, his charusa's name was Rabbi Pernikoff. I knew him, he was around in Yeshiva, was a Rebbe in the high school in my days. He was nifter in the early 80s, I think, I don't know exactly when, something like that. And he was a chashvatam. He was Talmud Chacham. He was a Rishiva's chavrusa. So I guess it'd be pretty good to be a chavrusa. He wasn't a Rishiva, but he was a chashvatam Chacham. So what used to happen? What happened was they learned together. I think it was Bekiya Seder, and guys used to come over. Ask Kasha, ask Shalos in the Gemara. What you do over here? Guys come with the Elter Bachram. Come over to ask Kasha in the Gemara. How do you win this toast? How do you worry about this? What about this? What about that? So a lot of questions, fine, so they answered very nicely. Some of them, many of them, Rabbi Pernikoff, didn't know the answer. And he looked and his charusa, Henoch, whatever, he used to call him Henoch, I guess, in those days, gave the answer like that. So after a while, and it was a day or two, a couple of days, Rabbi Pernikoff turned to Rashi Vizasal, and he says, "You ganef, you're a thief." Why am I a thief? What are you talking about? He says, We'll have rusas. We're supposed to learn together. We're supposed to share with each other the Torah that we're thinking about, that we're learning, and it's a share pshat. And you had all these ideas, you had all these different havanas, and you never shared to me. And you have to wait till a guy comes over from the outside. I said, "Kash, you give him a teretz. How come you don't tell to me before him? You're a guy. You're stealing my Torah. You're stealing our Torah. So you have an achrayus to me. You have an achrayus to learn with me, to share with me, and you just tell them all the Torah. You don't tell me anything. What's going on? Tell me pshat also." So what did he answer him? What do you think he answered him? Man, what do you say? Come on, what do you say? The answer is Pasha both say. He says, the answer is because he says, "I never thought of those tourists when we were together. I never thought of those ideas. It didn't pop into my head, pshat like this, pshat like that. I didn't think of that or what pshat this is. I learned it when I was together with you." Now, I don't know how he said it. He wasn't trying to brag, obviously, but he said, or he told us, I guess. I'm not sure if he told him. I'm not sure how it worked exactly, but he said his havana, the sugi, his grip on the sugi was a whole different grip, a whole different level of understanding. So when you ask the kash and you have a deep understanding, you get the teretz. You didn't consciously think of the pshat beforehand. But if you work through the sugya and you have a good, clear understanding of the sugya, so when someone asks a kasha, it's no problem because of this, no problem because of that. But if you just Pernikoff is a big Talmud Chacham also, but if you have a certain level grip and someone asks you a good kasha, hey, I can't figure it out. It doesn't make sense, Listen, guys, apply it to your own. I guess you guys are all learning Yachoku, I guess. I don't know if you guys are, I know you are, but what about the rest of the guys?
Yeah.
Right? You're Yachoku, right? So you think of the different levels, different shatim you had. So if you understand the sugya much better now, so you can feel so many more questions, right? Questions that you guys will learn, questions you guys have not learned yet, but it makes a difference. That's the pshat, your grip of the sugya. Not even what you didn't think of, but just what you thought of, that gives you a whole deeper understanding. You'll understand the whole picture better. So it makes this whole different sugya. Remember, they tell over how... I just heard the story recently. I never heard it a long time ago. I don't think I did. They talk about the Rashiva's mother, Frontal of Racha. I think her name was Revisit Rifkalei. I think her name was Rifkalei. Revisit Rifkalei. She was the Rashiva's mother. She was alive, I think, till 57, something like that. After Rav David died, so Rashiva had no father. He was a Rashiva. But she was living in the house with him for about 15 years after, her husband died. So they were very close, obviously. He used to tell stories about how she used to come in and find him on the floor sometimes in the wee hours of the morning when he was working on a pilpul shear to say the shear the next day. He was exhausted and drenched in sweat and fainted. He couldn't handle it, whatever. She used to tell him to go to sleep, whatever. But one time, she went to the doctor. She had some kind of a infection or stuff on her foot. And the doctors, she went to some young chashva guys, or guys, I don't know if it was a group practice or what, and the doctor said, you have to amputate the leg. Okay, it was too infected, whatever the circulation was, but the circulation was not good, you have to amputate the leg. Okay? So what happened? So the Rashiva, I guess, went for a second opinion, you know, for his mother. Didn't want to, you know, put on the knife so fast. So went to a second opinion. So he called some 70-year-old guy, doctor, another doctor. And the guy says, so he says, he looked her over, checked her out. And he says, no, don't amputate the leg, just the toe. Just the toe has to be amputated. Big machokas, right? Not such a simple machokas, right? But cut the toe or the whole leg, whatever. I'm not sure what the leg means, maybe from the knee, I'm not sure what it was exactly, but it was a big difference. So they went back to the first doctors and told him what they said. So that's ridiculous, he doesn't know what he's talking about, forget about it. So Rashiva said, well, we're going with the conservative approach, and we're just taking care of, we're following the old doctor's advice and just taking off the toe. Kachave, took off the toe. A week later, she comes back to the doctors, and they see it's not healing, it's not working. It didn't accomplish what it was supposed to do. It was still unhealed, whatever. So they start laughing, making fun. See, you listen to that old geezer, old doctor over there. It's ridiculous. You know, we know better. We know all the latest techniques. We know all the latest medicines, and we know all the latest reports and all the case studies, whatever. We know it all. It's all on the computer. I don't know if it was computer then, but we know all this stuff. So it's stupid. What are you listening to that guy, that old man? He doesn't know anything, you know? So they called the old doctor. The Rashiva called the old doctor. He said, listen, it's not working over here. What do we do? So he came to check it out. He says, wait 6 weeks. It'll heal in 6 weeks. Need some time. Give some time. It'll heal in 6 weeks. Kachave. Exactly 6 weeks, almost to the day. It's a modern story that says that almost to the day, the toe was healed. What's Pshat, Rabbi Chaim? Right. The old man was right. What's Pshat? I mean, they had all the latest techniques, all the latest information, all the latest studies, all the latest case histories, all the latest medicines, you know. There's an old doctor. Okay, he's an older guy, but so what? Pshat Rabbi Chaim, because when you have a greater understanding, you know, it's not just information. You stoop all the information into the head. It doesn't necessarily, you know, you read Tosis, Kasha Teres, you read Tosis. I can translate every single word. I can explain the Kasha, explain the Teres. Everything makes sense. But if you don't absorb it, if it's not, you know, digested properly, if you don't see with a proper perspective, so you're missing half the stuff. Your whole perspective of that Tosis or of that medical procedure is lacking. So because he wasn't physically IQ smarter than they were, right? They knew more than he did, right? They've been around and they saw the studies and they were better trained than he was. He was trained in the old city, the old world, right? But he had, I guess, because of his experience, his years of seeing different cases, he had a whole different Havana of it. His Havana was a deeper Havana, right? Same thing. We're not just talking about Havana in terms of Pshatnatosis. That's one thing. But Rabbi says everything in life, it requires Havana. There's depth. Just like there's depth in a Tosis, there's depth in an Almanas Lassos, right, in any piece of Torah, there's depth in everything in the world. There's so much Chochma in everything. You know, I always laugh every time you hear a new study come out. They found this healthy, it's not healthy, and steer it to the ones a year ago, steer ones 5 years ago. Every 5 years it changes. What the best way to stay healthy is, whatever it is, you know. Because it's so deep, there's so much Havana, so much depth of understanding, which is needed in terms of everything, in terms of medical science, and if we don't have it, so we see something, we interpret it this way. You see something a little different, you interpret it a different way. So this old man, so there's something to be said about experience and perspective and seeing it again and again. So, you know, you learn a Tosis one day, and you go to sleep, you go come back the next day, you have a different perspective of it, right? Because it's sunk in, you see the second time, you see the third time, you see the fourth time. Now, you can have a guy tell you on the first day, 15 different pshatim, and you'll memorize every single one, but they don't really have too much meaning to you. It doesn't mean too much, right? Because it doesn't sink in. You can't. Now, you can walk out of a brilliant shir, and if you're a smart guy, you remember every single step of the shir, and you understand every single step, but if you don't understand it, you have no idea what you're talking about. You have to harv and work because there's so much depth to it. And depth cannot come. That's what Chazal mean when they say, if yogatu masasa, tamen, right? Lo yogatu masasi, right? If a guy did not work hard and he found it, you can't believe him. What do you mean? The guy's a smart guy, right? You're a smart guy, right? You learn Tosis. Now, if you would tell me that you learned Tosis in, you know, 5 minutes, so you went to the shir, and you sat through Rabbi Ruben's Shavua shir, right? And let's say you were fully awake that night. And you woke up, I worked hard to prepare it. I spent a couple hours, and I listened to it in the last 45 minutes. You know, I stayed up. I got the pshat back and forth. I say, you don't have pshat. I know you don't have pshat. I don't care how smart you are. You don't have pshat. You know why? Because it takes time and effort and harvanya and work and yigia to understand the pshat. Why? I mean, a couple reasons really, but we're focusing on the fact because there's so much tifkat, there's so much depth, there's so much understanding. Right? David, you see in Shir the last couple of days, right? You were there, right? Right? I'm not picking on David, I'm sorry. But you go through the sugi, you go through tosis, you know, it becomes a different tosis. You know, what's chatan chazaka, which chazaka are you talking about, you know, and what's Araya, what's the kashi, you know, it's a whole different sugi. Now, it's not pshat because you didn't hear it the first, you read the same words the first time, but there's so many different levels of understanding of it, you have, takes time to sink in. So the 70-year-old doctor has so many more years of experience and not knowledge, but just seeing so many different cases, understanding the chokhmah and saying, well, it can work, it might take 6 weeks to heal, whatever it was. That's what he saw. That's what he understood. Either case studies didn't show that. How come the young guys didn't get it? Because they didn't hear. They didn't understand it. What time did we finish? 10:30 we finished? Okay. Let me tell you one thing I will say. I listened to a tape recently about David Harris, where Reshiva in Kew Garden Hills was talking. I think when was it? I think it was Reshiva's yard site, you know, half a year ago. And he said he capsulized the Reshiva's hashkaf, the Reshiva's uniqueness in three areas. If you ask them, you know, where's Chofetz Chaim unique? So you would say, I think most of us know. Three things. First thing is
Musar.
Second thing is? Abbas Torah. Okay. Third thing is? Ian, right. They're hung with Ian, right. Those are I think, what else? What? Blue shirts?
Yeah.
That's part of the Musar. Right? But I think that's what he said. Those are the three things he encapsulated, you know, he targeted and he focused, defined, what's the Shiva stand for? You know, Ian, Musar, and Abbas Torah. They're a different order, same thing, right? Those three things. Webshire both sides. I used to always think, yeah, there's like three disparate different things. You know, there's Ian, you know, it's focused on the Havana. You know, there's Musar, talking about Koch and Nefesh, this and that, whatever. Midos, all that kind of stuff. Then there's also Habas' Torah. Like, well, where does that come from all of a sudden? Out of the blue, you know? I don't think so, both. I think there's a connecting factor, what we're discussing tonight. The Ian, the Havana, right? The first was Mamish Pashat, right? If a person sees and dehears, as we always tell you guys, now the Rashi always told us that there's so much more in between the lines than on the lines itself. There's so much havana, so much depth, so much tifkai, so much to figure out what's behind the scenes, right? So once you can appreciate that, you take that same application, say take the same styles, take the same approach, take the same tools, and apply it to Ramban, apply it to Sephorno. So if you don't have the havana, you just okay, read the Sephorno, read the Ramban. Yeah, very, very nice, you know. It's Balmias, whatever the Pshat in the Chumash was. Okay, very nice. Nothing to talk about. No big deals, you know. Dvarim Pshutim. But if you take the Havana skills you gleaned when you were in Tosis and you apply it to the Ramban, you say, hey, Takadra, this Ramban's a very interesting Kiddush. There's a tremendous Kiddush in Kochas Nefesh, tremendous Kiddush in Hilchos Midos, tremendous Kiddush in Hilchos Emeth, whatever it might be. And you see it's the Ramban, the Sephorno, whatever it is, the Gemara comes alive. It's a whole different story now, right? I mean, just like I gave you a little tiny example, just a little bit. I didn't give a shmooze on this, Rabbi. You know, but same thing over here. You know, you have to hear what it means. The guy's trying to work so hard on the lamed. I'm an asalamed. He's working. He wants to give a good cheer. Doesn't look stupid. Doesn't want to be shrugged up. He's working hard to try to get MS the pshat. But if he's not ready to, but that's not enough. With all that, with all those efforts, it doesn't work, right? He's not going to get the MS unless he has a different level of focus. If he focuses, if he's willing to try and go ahead and spend days and years on what to acquire, to get shot in one thing, that makes a difference, a world of a difference. It gives him emes. So that, I think, ties everything together, right? There's the iyun. Take the iyun and apply it to the musr. Same thing, and musr comes alive. Same thing with Torah. What's Harbash Torah? Why are we in Harbash Torah? Well, the Rebbe told Harbash Torah. No, that's not why. It's because the Rishivas, this is not to knock anybody else out, that's not the point, but he has a different perspective. Rabbi David had a different perspective. What the chashivas of Torah is, what the chashivas of a nefesh, what the chashivas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to hurt someone who goes out to Ottawa someplace. There's nothing up there. There's Miami, big crazy place, Miami, all these preachers and all that, you know. There's special schusim and schulis and haftachas that your kids won't be hurt because of it, that you won't be hurt, you know. Now, Okay, we have to have some rise to it also, but it's a depth of understanding of what Torah stands for and what Torah means. Therefore, you get a different perspective and glimpse of the chashivas Rabbah's Torah and the protective guarantees we have in place. It makes so much sense how much you're accomplishing everything on both sides. The bottom line is like this. Everything is totally on perspective, on depth of perspective. The girl you're going to marry on both sides is totally on your perspective. The bigger I'm telling you right now, the bigger lamdan you are, right? You'll make a. I can't get involved in the Hilchos Yad Tishmai. That also plays a role. But Abiderach Hateva, the bigger lamdan you are, the better shidduch you'll get. Now that doesn't mean you'll get a smarter girl. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean I'll get a pretty girl. This girl. Doesn't mean that. It means the better you have a better insight to what's important, what I want from a spouse, from a wife, what I want from her. I want this, this of all. Do I want this? Or do I want this? There's so many different factors. Well, you have to choose and make sure you know. Which one's important? Well, I'll have to sacrifice on this. I'm not sure about this, but this, you know, this is more important. Well, maybe that's more important, you know? It gets pretty tough and complicated. I'm telling you, speak to the shatchanim, speak to the guys who just recently got married, you know? It's not so pushit. Or the guys trying to get married, right? It's not so pushit, right? So, but that's Sharabo's side. Everything you do in life is totally in how you see things. If you see things with greater perspective, with greater havana, with greater depth, you understand things better, you understand people better. You have a charusa, right? This guy is making you crazy. He steps out for a break. He comes back and hawks about this. Oh, you know, if you understand his kochos nefesh, if you understand his makeup and how he responds and who he is, all the above and much more, you'll be able to deal with him a lot better. Everything are both telling perspective, right? Whatever your parnasa, what's going to be my occupation? What am I going to do? Am I going to become a rebbe? Am I going to become a computer whiz? Am I going to become a stockbroker? Whatever, what? That's all telling what your perspective in life is. Perspective on everything. On value systems, right? How much is money worth to me? Now, I'm not saying it's not worth it. It's worth a lot, whatever. It plays a vital role in a person's life. You have to have parnasa, right? How much is money worth? How much is time with my family worth? How much is midos tovus? How much is it kedai to stay away from a place where there's too many potential averus of naiva there? Whatever, you know, there's emes, there's tznius, whatever it might be. All these things play a role. Now, the clearer a person has a perspective of what all these things stand for and how important they are and how important they are to him, that'll determine how he paskins. He can ask all the shouts in the world. If you don't see it that way yourself, you ain't going to listen too easily. You'll try to convince the postek that, well, what about this? I'm a little different, right? Yeah, okay, guess you're a little different, you know? Shabbos says, that's the key of both. The key is you have to be a Baal Havana. That's the reason why the Rishiva folks so much on Eden Havana. You know, we're kvetching on a toast all day. Right, well, I'm giving you the keys. You're being given the keys to life, the keys to a better life, the keys to a life which is full of meaning, understanding, and knows the value system. What's chashim? What's not so chashim? Both, thank you very much.